Hallelujah. As we're just worshiping the Lord, I just ask myself, how can anybody live without you? How can we live outside of your presence? Heaven is real, and God is heaven. And whenever we encounter Him in these times of worship, His presence is who He is, and that's heaven. A taste of heaven. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I pray the Lord will speak to you this morning, because what He's put in my heart is very vital for the season and where we are going. It's not just a word for us, but the importance of it is because eventually at the end you will see it's a word for the nation. It's a word for the season. It's where we are. Amen. Thank you for coming. You are in the right place today. Amen. Amen. I want to go quickly into some things, because we are going to dig a little deep this morning. Amen. Deep calls to deep. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, our worship team. Thank you, Daisy. We thank God. Amen? Amen. What a gift. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15. I'll read from verse 38. But God, let's read 37. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. Verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased Him. And to every seed his own body. Verse 39. Listen carefully. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, that's animals, another flesh of fishes, and another of birds. I want to use that to give us a foundation to God has created different things. And in Genesis, you can see when God started creating everything, and then He created man on the sixth day. But I want you to note that when He created man, He says He made man in his own what? Image and likeness. Okay. So here, Paul, after the encounter he's had with God and the experience and where God was taking him, God gave him revelation of where he was and what God was doing. And then he wrote this, he says, God created different kinds of flesh or body coverings. He says some are birds, some are animals, some are fishes, and then man. And because of the way God has created their body, the what they can survive in this earth with, they are designed to live based on the design of their bodies. They exist, they thrive, and three major things happen to them when they live in the place where they are designed to live. And we'll look at those three major things later. The birds, because of the way they are designed, they fly in the air. How many of you can fly in the air? Because they are birds. Their flesh is designed to fly. Fly. The fishes live inside water. How many of you can live in the water? Because that's their habitation. The animals live in the forest, in the bush. And every of these three things you see later are provided for them because they are planted in the place of their habitation. But then it says man was made in image and likeness of God. And so the habitation of man is different. Amen? Amen. Now, where we get confused about habitation, about man, is because of our fallen nature. So this present man that we have, this present body we have, only understands the physical habitation, which is the oxygen we breathe, the sun, the food we eat, and then the houses and the cars we drive. The physical man lives within that limitation of human habitation and human everything, humanism. But ever, even before the fall of man, man has never been just a physical body. Man was made a spirit, a living soul. Every man that is living today, if they put them in that grave, that 6 feet grave, is just their physical body. Man has a destination, and it's a spiritual destination. Amen? So, we have a physical habitation like this building for the physical man. But it's a problem. And that problem is still affecting us as believers. Because as unbelievers, we can understand they don't have that problem because their eyes have not been opened to see the kingdom, to understand the kingdom. But for believers who have experienced being born again, whose eyes, it says, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter. He cannot see the kingdom. Believers who are born again, something has happened to bring an awareness that we're not just physical people. If we are just physical people meant to live and just put in that grave, then we're like every other creation that was not made in the likeness and image of God. But as people created after the image and likeness of God, we are spirits. God breathed in us. So we're a living soul. So because of that reason, we have natural fathers, parents. Amen? Every physical person came through a physical being. Amen? But if, based on where we are so far, what I'm telling you, most of you are born again, you know that. But if we understand we are made in the image of likeness of God, and we are living so, we are spirits, that means our Father cannot be flesh and blood. Amen? That means if you physically are born by a man or a woman physically, that means we were born spiritually by somebody. You didn't just come from anywhere. You were born by somebody. Amen? Amen. And the only person that could give birth to you is God, isn't it? Because he's a spirit. Amen? Amen? That's why Jesus says, call no man your father. He's referring to born again people. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father. So, if we are born in the physical by physical parents, in the physical, when you are born as a child, you are taken to your father's house, your mother's house, and you're put in a physical home, isn't it? Amen. You're called a family. So if we are spirits, for those who are not born again, they don't know that. When I wasn't born again, I did not know that. All I knew was there must be a creator. So what differentiates us from the world is that the moment our eyes are opened by the experience of being born again, then we are made aware that we are spirits. That's the why Jesus says, unless a man is born again. Because that which was born has fallen away from God. It's now blinded. It's under darkness, the veil of darkness. So they don't really know who they are. So the enemy, Satan, just drags the world, the curse of this world, just drags them through life. Because we were all in darkness. And I did not know anything about God. So everything I lived for, without knowing that a spirit was controlling my life, and I thought I was living. But Satan was in charge. So he says, Jesus says, unless a man is born again. So if we are born again by who? In Peter, he says, by the word of God. By God. That's why Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father. So your Father is a spirit. If you are a spirit. Amen? Amen. 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 Are we together so far? Yes. Amen. So, before the fall of man, when God created everything and then brought forth Adam and then Eve, I want you to understand that they did not know they were naked. Do you understand that? If they did not know they were naked, that means they were clothed with something. They were covered in something. They were under something. They did not see it with their eyes, but whatever they were under did not make them see their nakedness. They were housed by the presence of God. They were the first recipients of hosting a spirit called their Father God in the earth. Because we are in the earth physical body, even though God is here, but as physical body, we host that presence. We is our habitation. So God created animals to dwell in the bush, fish to live in the water, birds to fly in the air, but he created man to dwell in his presence. Our habitation is not this body. This habitation is just for this flesh. So because of lack of understanding this, we don't understand what worship is. We don't understand what prayer is. We think it's a religious activity. So what happened and what caused this was this. When God puts man in his presence in the garden, everything was provided. Power was given to them. Dominion was given. And they lived in that glory, in that presence. And I want you to know that they were pulled and drawn out of that presence by something we're going to look at very soon, quickly. And they disobeyed God. And by disobeying God, that was not the problem. The problem of losing the presence of God or being blinded by the cultural systems of this world, God understands we're human and we have one thing called will. I will explain that very soon. He knows all that. And when they were pulled away and we disobey or we rebel, that's not his problem. God has made a way for our redemption. The only problem we have, and you see it soon, is hiding our sin. Hiding from God. Hiding from repentance. Repentance is a gift of grace that God has made as an insurance for man because we're human. Insurance redeems everything you lose. And even true insurance promotes you because you have experience now. But without repentance, then you are separated from God. And so that's what happened in the garden. Amen? What you see as the current man today without God is basically a separation from God. But that doesn't mean there are no spirits. When Adam and Eve left that garden, the presence of God lifted. And when the presence of God lifted, they just became living spirit, a soul, and they have the body. And for the first time, he says their eyes was open to humanity. And for the first time they saw, they were naked. Why didn't they see it before? So, the same eyes that we have today to see that we're naked, Jesus says, when we are born again, another eyes open and we go back in the spirit. Though we still recognize our nakedness, but now we are born into becoming sons of God. So, what we want to look at today is the habitations of the children of God. We lost everything. So let's fast forward to why Jesus came. Amen? Let's fast forward really quick to why Jesus came. So let's open our Bibles to the book of John chapter 1. I want you to see this, and I pray that your life will never be the same. Why did Jesus come? John chapter 1. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was what? The same was in the beginning with what? God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was what? Life. And the life was what? The light of man. And the light shines in darkness. And what? The darkness comprehends it not. Let's fast forward to verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him what? Not. But as many as received him, to them he gave what? Power. Everybody say power. To them he gave the right, the privilege, the legal right, the power to become the what? The person that gives birth to you is called your father, isn't it? And the one that is giving birth to is called children, sons and daughters. God is saying he has given us power when we receive him to be called the sons of God. So your father, spiritually speaking, is a spirit because you are a spirit. So now, to them that received him, he gave power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name. Now, verse 13 is one of these key areas we're going to be using. We're going deeper. Amen. Everybody say deeper today. Verse 13 says, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13. Which were what? Born, not of what? Blood. Nor of the will of what? The flesh. Nor of the will of what? Man. Three levels of will. First, they were born not of the will. Mark this word, will. Which were born not of blood, flesh and blood, nor of the will of flesh. You know, people are born from different situations, circumstances. We all came from different directions. We never made a decision, but somebody's will brought us here. Married or no married, good or bad, somebody's will brought us here in the flesh. Not of the will of man. So note these different wills. Then it says, but of the will of what? God. Verse 14 says, and now is born of the will of God, and this word was what? Made flesh. Is this word, this person that is born is now clothed with flesh. It's now housed in this physical body. And the word was made flesh, housed in this physical body where we live, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, that's Jesus, the glory as of the, he was the first and the only begotten as of then, begotten Son of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember how Jesus was born? By a virgin. So it was not through the generations of the fallen man, not the will of man, not the blood of man. He was born by a virgin. Amen? So it was from God. Now, Jesus became the first son that carries the DNA of God housed in the flesh. He came to do several things. One, he came to destroy the power of sin. He came to pay the price for the sin, fall of man. He came to to restore everything that has been stolen back into the Father's kingdom, the estate of God the earth. He came to do a lot of things. And then, one of the biggest things he came to do was to reveal the heart of God's children, the sons of God. One of the greatest revelations of the Son of God, the Son of God, Jesus, one of the greatest revelations he came to reveal here on earth for all of us when we become children happened on the cross. Several things happened there, but this one thing you will see today in a different way by the Spirit of God. And that thing happened on the cross, but it started in the garden where he was fighting. Everybody say fighting. He was fighting if he's going to make it to that cross. And in that fight, in that battle, he said this statement, "Not my will. Not my will, but your will be done." Because he was fighting something that was absolutely, he had the right for it. He was a righteous man. He had no sin, committed no offense. But now he is to die for the sins of the world. Not only to die, he was to be separated from people. A lot was to happen. Darkness was to come upon him. And he was to pay the full price to keep us from going to hell. He was to pay a price we don't even have a clue what it is to enter into darkness in the things of this world. So he was wrestling with this thing. And then he says, if there is no other way, this is God in the flesh now. Yeah. If there is no other way, not my will, but what? No. That was when we received victory. The victory that was won when Jesus submitted. Remember, he's been submitting all this while to the process. But this was the final blow. He was to face that cross. He submitted. And all of a sudden, when he said, "Okay, not my will, let your will be done." Because the will of God, the will of the Father was, you have to come down here and die for the sin. And pay the price. And now, that's the only will of the Father. As a son, he said, this is hard. This is not human. This is not, I can't, you know, this is, but he says, not my will, but your will. Everybody say, not my will, but your will. My brothers and sisters, what I just shared to you is a big mystery for me. I never understood how deep that was. And then on that cross, he finished it and said, "Forgive them." Amen? This is so deep. And let me tell you through a few questions I want to ask you. How God wants to touch a little bit of it today. The first thing was, God, how will you come here in the flesh? And the biggest battle you had to fight about the cross was your will. Why? How do? What is the fruit that causes that? Everybody say meekness. Meekness is not a human virtue. Meekness is not a human characteristic. By nature, we are self-willed. Because our will came from the will of the flesh or the will of the blood or the will of man. From the fallen nature. So by nature, it's not the fruit of the spirit. It's not the fruit of flesh. Meekness. Meekness is the character and nature of God. And Jesus was tested at the highest level because of that fruit. And he says, not by will, but your will. Meekness is the character of God that submits to the will of God, that obeys the word of God. Meekness is what produces the unfolding manifestation of humility. Genuine humility comes from meekness. And meekness is obeying, submitting to the will of God. That's why Adam fell. Adam refused to submit to the word of God because he had a will to make that decision. So I asked the question, oh my God, what are you saying, Father? I want you to hear this. All of us as God's children, we are born into the kingdom of God, the presence of God. Amen? Or created into it. I want you to know that we are not the first people in the earth that God is testing to see our heart. The word will, W-I-L-L, is the word of God, isn't it? It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was what? With God, and the word was what? God. The word of God is the will of God when we pray according to his will, isn't it? I want you to follow me, huh? Isn't it? The word of God is the will of God. Because God told Jesus, you will go to that cross. That's my will. That's my word. And he had to submit to it. I want you to see this. What happened to Adam in the garden to lose the glory of God? He was in the glory, but his heart, his will was not submitted to the will of God. He had dominion, he had power, but his will did not submit to the will of God. No man can change if they don't submit to the will of God. How can you change except you see his glory? When you see his glory, when you are in his glory, then you have a reason to say, now I have seen the glory of the Lord. I don't want to live for me. I want to live for him. I submit my will. My brothers and sisters, and the Lord, I said, how did Adam fall? He says, every man here, their will is in their heart. That's what we call the heart. Some serve God with all their heart. Some serve God is your heart. Your will is your heart. He said, son, my glory is to reveal who I am, everything that I am, so that everything that belongs to me will naturally submit to me. I have given everything I've created their heart and their will. And I will not hide my glory. So when I show them my glory, then they will choose to either submit to me or keep their will. And all the angels were tested in the glory of God in heaven. You can't get better than heaven. Amen? Heaven is glorious. That's where God dwells. But Lucifer refused to turn his heart to submit to God's agenda. Lucifer was given everything. The powerful gift, he's still using it today because the gift God gives to you without repent. In other words, if you don't change, he doesn't take it back. If God gives you a car, he doesn't take it back, but you are not in relationship. Lucifer is still operating in that power, but is now converted to the power of darkness, self-will. In heaven, the glory of God was there, but in the Bible says his heart was lifted up. What is lifted? What is pride? Pride is people who will not submit to authority, the will of God. That's pride. And that leads to disobedience. He didn't submit to the will of God. And after God gave them who knows how many millions or whatever, thousands or however way God gave them that time, he found out that he didn't submit. And not only him, there are people Lucifer has already used his gift to convince to move in that direction. And a bunch of angels, when their time came, lost connection with heaven. Today they are called principalities and powers, demons and wicked spirits in the heavenlies, cast out from heaven and became darkness. And God did not take away their gift from them because their heart was not willing to submit to the authority of God. That's why when Adam was given, God will not force any man's will. But God will reveal the glory, reveal everything and tell you, this is bad, but here is all I have. I have it all and I'll do everything for you. But these three don't, this is, and it will give you everything to show you you have more opportunity than just that thing. And that is where Satan comes and says, you know what? You have the right to do what you want, to live the way you want. You have the right to be your own God. Basically, be yourself. Be live the way you want to do. And Adam liked it, Eve liked it, and they said, let's go for it. And that was a separation, the fall. So ever since then, every human being has inherited a fallen nature. A nature that is built around self. There are three kinds of love. In Greek, one is called eros, the other one is called philia, another one is called agape. The first two kinds of love is all built around self and flesh, even family love. Under pressure, people can forsake anybody because it's built on self. The love that God gave as agape, Jesus revealed on the cross. Even while we were sinners and enemies, he started revealing this kind of love by dying for another person's offense. My offense, my sin. Somebody was willing to die for the evil I'm committing. How much more if I obey him, the glory behind? The kingdom of God is not pizza and Coca-Cola. It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. So, really quickly, the Lord showed me something. He said, why did the children of Israel not change in the wilderness from their character from Egypt? They came out of Egypt and God clothed them with a cloud by day, fire by night, miracle every day. Food from heaven, water from here, supernatural. God is revealing, here I am, I can do anything. I'm your father, I will fight for you, I will lead you. Do you know what it means to live under the cloud by day? Millions of people. You wake up in the morning, you see food already scattered everywhere, you don't have to walk. You look every day, every month, your shoes are the same. Your clothes are the same. You don't have to worry about laundry detergent. You see all this stuff and you refuse to submit your will to him. Every time God says, submit to my word, submit, do this, they refuse. They refuse to submit to his word. And after 40 years, he said, they all perished in the wilderness. They did not enter into their inheritance. what God has prepared for them to be, to enjoy and be a light of what it looks like, what it feels like when you are in the kingdom of God. All God wanted was for them to give Egypt away from their heart. They refuse. Every time God say, submit to this, do this, they will say, why? God is a spirit. Ford company made motors. You don't tell Ford people, why do I have to put gas instead of water? Why do I have to use engine oil? Why can't I put water there? Tell Ford, go put water in the gas and see how far you go. They made the car. They know how it works. God knows, he's a spirit. He knows what is good for the spirit. And he knows the flesh is your enemy. And he knows his word is the only way as you obey, the mystery of dying to the flesh takes place. And they refuse. So every time they face a problem, they say, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. And they never entered into what God has. Why? The question is, how can somebody be under the cloud? You're seeing it with your eyes every day. You are experiencing fire at night. Every day. And you never ask yourself, why can't I submit to this God? Why can't I surrender? If he has brought me this far from Egypt, I know he's not going to mislead me. Why can't I submit? But first he brought them to his house, his glory, his power. You know what? God showed me something. He said, you can be in church 40 years and never change. Your character still stinks. Your life still stinks. Just like it was in the world. I said, how can that be? How can that be? He reminded me of Lucifer in heaven. And he reminded me of the children of Adam and Eve. These are people God has blessed. Adam had everything. God has blessed them. Israel, God blessed them. They saw fire, God smoking in the... He said, your will is your heart. And because of the will of man and the will of the flesh and the will of blood, the heart we carried from the fall of man, from Satan eating that fruit, has made our heart deceitful. Jeremiah said, the heart is very deceitful and desperately what? Wicked. Basically, self-centered. Who can know it? How can you know your heart? How can I know my heart? That's why God reveals his glory through his word. This is what James says about people who see the glory of God, who come to church every Sunday, who see the glory of God, but they don't change because they go away and their heart is not convicted. Even when they are convicted, they don't take action to create a change. What happens to that? How did James say? James says, when we come to church, like you're hearing this word, or the children of Israel, when they're experiencing the glory of God, and God is moving, God is doing miracles, God is moving, God is doing things, we're experiencing the glory of God. He says, James said, you are like looking in a mirror, and you're seeing the glory of God. You're hearing the word of God. He says, but those who don't obey what God is saying, say they are like people who look in the mirror and they walk away and they forget the conviction. They forget what God was saying about your heart condition. And nothing happens. What does that mean? Let me ask you a question. How many of us here, when you go in the morning to after you take your shower, you most of you are coming here. How many of you look in the mirror? Huh? Coca. When you look in the mirror, do you see me or see you? You see you. Amen. I want to tell you something, my brothers. I've asked God, what will make people not change? Why? We don't have the ability to change ourselves, but the glory of God changes us. The presence of God changes us. That's why we depend on God, by grace. Why? Will you live in the church for 10 years and you're still gossiping, you're still slandering, you're still hating people? Why? So I say, why is it people don't change? He says, Book of James says, the glory of God, the word of God is like a mirror. Amen? When we are experiencing the glory of God, when God is speaking to us, when God is moving, do you know that we are beholding him by revelation, by understanding? And then as we're beholding him, as we're experiencing him, deep down God is telling us, Adam, what happened? Adam, what are you doing? You know what Adam does? When he had the glory of God come, Adam said, it's Eve. Eve is the one that is causing the problem. Eve is the reason. My brother, God showed me something that broke my heart. He says, when God, we are experiencing God, and God is showing us, he wants to make us become like Christ. He wants to change us into the image of Christ. But the only way we can change is not to hide who we are. Because we don't know ourselves. Under pressure, you will see who you are. But because we don't know ourselves, God is telling you what he will do to change you without you knowing. He's changing who you are to become like him. So when God is showing us these things, it's like Coca looking in a mirror, and then all he's seeing is me. Every time he looks at the mirror, I'm talking spiritually, all he's seeing is me. Because the devil used me in my ignorance to offend him, to do something wrong to him. Coca is seeing me in the mirror because I was his problem. And as long as he sees me to be the problem, he will never change because he will never see himself. The only way you change is when you see Jesus. As I'm speaking to you now, God is speaking to you. But when you leave this place, whatever situation, whatever problem you're going through is what you see. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The reason Joseph went through what he went through with his brothers, the problem was not his brothers. They were in the flesh. The problem was not Potiphar's wife. She was in the flesh to be used by Satan. God just wanted to remove things in Joseph so that none of those things will ever bother him. Because when you have the fruit of the Spirit called love, means the problem we have as man is self. The more you grow in love, you're becoming selfless. And the more selfless you become, things don't bother you anymore because you have the character of God. Why do you think God lives in heaven and puts up with us for thousands of years? Because of his character. If you find out somebody is trying to offend you, you kill that person immediately. And God is watching all these terrorists and all these wicked, all these whoremongers, every seeing what my calling it darkness. God sees the evil, the abortion, all this stuff, and is patient so that they don't die and go to hell. That's called the fruit of long suffering. That fruit is love. That's why when Paul was talking about love, say you can have gift, you can have this, if you don't have love. Meaning, what is one of the ingredients of love? Patience, forbearance, hoping the best for people, working, enduring. Those are not human characteristics. If somebody offends you, somebody is running you, you want that person gone immediately. The purpose of marriage is to kill our flesh so that we can have love that we don't have before. It's not to separate. It's for us to see how evil we are. We cannot coexist without love. So after a while, as you start submitting to one another, love starts coming. And marriage becomes what God wants it to be. Love is not about self. Love is about God and other people. So, my brothers and sisters, the reason we have gone so far as the church, we have gone so far as a people, is because first, we've lost the key of life. The main reason why Jesus first went to that cross is to restore us back to the presence of God that we lost. I want to read to you a scripture that has become a pillar in my life, and that's the scripture Mount Zion stands on by lifestyle. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because the ways of God are different from the ways of men. Find out what is right in the kingdom of God. Amen? So, Jesus said that. But Psalms 27 is what really summarizes what we lost. Amen? The key of David. Before I read it to you, Psalms 27, verse 4. Amen? I have this key. Amen? Is a key to a door or a key, you know, just key. My brothers and sisters, let me ask you. If I lost this key, and I start looking for it, I start looking for it, and I don't find it. My brothers and sisters, that door is locked. I can't find it. It becomes frustrating. But when I find out this key is hidden somewhere in the soil, it's hidden somewhere, but I now know where it is, I will do everything, isn't it, to go after that key. What happens when I find the key? Let me tell you practically. 1 + 1. When I find this key, I stop looking. It's 1 + 1, isn't it? A lot of people have not found God. And they're still looking. Because David said this. Psalms 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That one thing I will seek means I can't live without. I have to find it. I will seek after. That I may what? Dwell. What's that? Open that door. I may dwell in the house, in the presence of what? Of the Lord, not today, not tomorrow, but what? All the days. That's my habitation. I was born to live in the presence of God. Psalms 91. David found it. Now listen to this. It says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty, the glory of the Lord. And to inquire, meaning that I may be able to hear his voice. How do you behold the beauty and how do you hear? David calls it, when I find him, I wait on him. I host him because I'm human. I weighed on him like a hostress. And by doing so, like Samuel did by the ark, I will begin to learn his voice. Because all I've known is the voice of man, my voice, and the voice of my parents. And the voice of every other, the mayors and the government of this world. I don't know the God's voice that gave birth to me. So I have to wait. And I behold, I want to wait, I want to hear, and I want to learn his voice. His word. And then I will obey him. My brothers and sisters, David said, it's only one thing we lost. And that's the presence of God. Adam lost. One thing. Let me add Warbrit. Warbrit, one thing we lost. Why one thing? Remember how we started. We lost our Father. God is not just God. When we say the presence of God is what? It's not just the presence of God. It's our Father's house. His presence is the atmosphere of his kingdom, which is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But who is that presence? The Father and the Son and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is not religion. It's not theory. It's life. That's what we lost. We became a fatherless generation. And when a fatherless generation is what we call Christianity, everything we want is by works, not inheritance. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom, know who you are seeking, and be in right standing, understand your position as a son, and inheritance comes. Sons inherit. Servants walk. That's what Mount Zion is about. We can go further and further, but I just wanted to close here and make some announcements by virtue of what you just heard. The presence of God is the presence of somebody. If I go to the Warbury's house like we went yesterday, that's their house, isn't it? That's their habitation. That's the glory of God. That's our habitation, is the glory of God, the presence of God. But if I go there, I don't connect with them. Then I'm in their house, but I'm not connecting with them. A lot of people go to the temple in the Old Testament. A lot of people have the Holy Spirit in this temple, but they don't know who he is. There is no relational connection as a father. We lost a father. And the biggest problem we're struggling with as believers is fatherlessness. Yes. But the good news is this. God promised us through the book of Malachi chapter 4 verse 6 that before he comes again, he will turn the hearts of the children to the Father and the hearts of the Father. God will restore a generation sons and daughters who know our Father. Let's call revival. We've been waiting on God. It's not easy. This flesh wants to do his will, his own thing. The greatest price you pay waiting on God is your will and the will of men and the will of society pulls you so much because the opinion is strong. But as many through generations have paid the price to break through that barrier and wait, they became the source of a generation seeing the glory of God. Amen. I'm tempted to say this. Let me say it. They are not here, but maybe one of them is here. I took some young people to Ruby Falls. How many of you know Ruby Falls? Okay. Thousands, millions of people come to Ruby Falls from all over the world to see this wonder. But it took one man to pay the price to discover it, pay the price to plow it, pay the price to make it possible for the world to see a wonder. Everything I said to you, not everybody is willing. But as many as are willing, God will grant you that same desire he gave to David. If you pay the price. Because we wait, God reveals things. And so, we are entering a season right now that I said from the beginning, it's not just about us. We're entering a season where, spiritually speaking, and by the virtue of the signs we're seeing by the Spirit, America is heading towards a crossroad. And this crossroad, without intercession, without prayer, is pushing America towards a cliff. God has commanded us in Jeremiah 29:7 that we should pray for the city, the nation where we're planted. We should be watchmen. Not just only the things about our lives, but we should come to the place where God will take us far above the distractions of this world. We're able to tune in to the understanding of the times and seasons. And right now, from all that we have been looking at, America underneath is a division, almost like an earthquake, dividing the nation. And without going into details, what you see in the physical is a sign, the pillar that has kept America for over 200 years is cracking. And that's the constitution of democracy. I can share that things with you. That's just that arena. On the surface, you are going to see, if we don't pray, for the first time in American history, worse than last year, worse than many years, you're going to see America in a picture that's never been seen before next year, even if there will be an election. You're looking at the outward. I'm seeing in the spirit. America is preparing for a major crisis where it's going right now, politically. The foundations. What will the righteous do when the foundation is corrupt? So let's leave that. Spiritually, God is about to bring the church into a season of awakening. The purpose of awakening is for us to wake up like the prodigal son and say, you know what? All these things that I'm enjoying in this world, like Paul, is nothing. I need to go back to my father's house. God is about to bring us back to be his children and to enjoy the glory and then understand that God has put us here to reflect that glory so that unbelievers will be attracted by jealousy to the glory of God. God will do it because he said it. We've tried, we are frustrated. So, beginning this September, the Feast of Trumpets, we are calling for 21 days of prayer. Because between this September 16, the Feast of Trumpets, to the Feast of Tabernacle, 21 days, there will be a shift in the spiritual realm. God is going to release a new season into the earth. This is not something new here. We go from season to season. And we've been seeing a few results. These 21 days, we will see a very exponential results of what is coming from the kingdom of God. God is about to allow some things, and God is about to stop some things, but God is about to show that he is still the God of America. Not everybody likes God when he corrects his children, is it? We don't like correction, but he has to do it for our salvation. So, we're preparing for it, like the days of Noah. Amen? Three things I said I would say about staying in the presence of God. That every animal, every flesh, they have the opportunity. The three things we're going to enjoy these 21 days and we'll keep experiencing by staying in the presence of God is one, every time you are in covenant relationship with God, he guarantees you protection. Psalms 91 tells you that things will happen to people that will never touch you. He guarantees you provision. The only people that ate food in the days of Noah, they were in the ark, the presence of God. You don't have to worry about provision if you can feed people for 40 years and they didn't have to farm. It's still the same God. He guarantees you promotion. Because God is the only one that takes you from glory to glory. And God is the only one who puts Joseph to be the heir and Daniel to be and Noah's them to be lifted above the storm. God, promotion comes from heaven. And so this season we're going in, these three things will be our covenant mark. Protection, provision and promotion. Because the last P, we live in his presence. Father, thank you. You said if we hear your voice, we should harden not our hearts. Father, this world is strategically destructive. The God of this world has an agenda, and the bait is very strong. And the ultimate goal is to keep us roaming around the wilderness and not understanding our root, our dwelling place. Keep looking for something that we've already found. There is no ministry outside of waiting on you. This morning, this afternoon, Father, give us the grace. As you've spoken to us individually, give us understanding. Give us the grace to obey you, to make decisions in agreement with you. Not my will, but your will be done. Change us, O God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.